Chair LaFleur, thank you all.
You ever wonder if our prayers, what we're praying for to God, is even appropriate? What I'm getting at here is all these tragedies that we see and hear around us. Family members that we know are dealing with disease. We turn the TV on and we see the floods in Houston and Texas area and Louisiana. You read about in the newspaper and online about the threat of nuclear war and terrorism and wars that are going on in the Middle East. Just a few weeks ago, the racism and the hatred that presented itself up in Virginia. And all these things that are going on, and it makes what we pray for sometimes seem meaningless or petty to God. We pray for things sometimes that are so small, we wonder, does God even have time to worry about them? A friend of mine shared that during his group prayer at a Bible study, there was a particular lady that never failed. Every week, she would pray on her shopping trip to the grocery store that she would get a close parking space. Anybody ever pray for that? Now, we're all going to stand up and just start throwing some shade at her and say, you know, this is, Jesus would never pray for a close parking space. Of course, Jesus didn't drive or probably go grocery shopping. And plus, Jesus was healthy enough, I imagine, he walked everywhere. He could definitely walk from the end of the parking lot to the front of the grocery store. Ridiculous prayer, but if we knew that lady's circumstance, if you've ever been with my 94-year-old grandma or even other family members that have had some health issues where they physically couldn't make it from the end of the parking lot to the front of the store, that those prayers are important to them. And so I believe that all of our prayers are important to God, no matter how small or minute, as long as they are genuine. There's a lot that we can learn about prayer, especially from Jesus. Jesus was a person who prayed. I shared this with y'all last week. He prayed during his baptism. When the disciples, when he was selecting the disciples, after he fed the 5,000, he went up onto the mountainside to pray. Numerous instances in the gospel records Jesus giving thanks for his daily bread and for God hearing and answering his prayers. And see, the disciples, they noticed this, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus taught them this model prayer in Luke 11, the Lord's Prayer. We're going to look at parts of the Lord's Prayer this morning found in Matthew 6 from the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we talked about God, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When we pray to our Father, we're not praying to some distant deity, but we're praying to a God, our spiritual Heavenly Father, our spiritual Dad, who wants to be in relationship with us, who loves us unconditionally, who has so much compassion for us, who knows all of our needs and even our petty wants, and He still wants to hear them. And when we pray, hallowed be thy name, we're saying, holy is your name, God, your name is above all names. How awesome is your name? And it sets the framework. It begins our prayers in an appropriate manner because we're offering our worship to God. And then Jesus goes on and he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This word, this idea of kingdom can be difficult for us, can be at least a challenge for me, because we don't necessarily have kings and kingdoms here in our culture, here in the United States. If I was to ask you to name three kings right now, what would it be? Mine would be King LeBron James, King Richard Petty, number 43, with the Goody BC powder, and I'll even say King Presley, maybe in the older, larger days, I don't know. I'd have to start looking through literature and movies to be reminded of the kings and kingdom. King Arthur somehow comes to my mind. Maybe there's a movie about that recently. the Knights of the Round Table, and of course the Knights that Say Knee. It's another one that reminds us of those kingdoms. But this idea of kingdoms, of God's kingdoms, is very common and important in the New Testament. In fact, it appears over 100 times. In Luke's gospel, he records it as the kingdom of God, with his audience being mainly for the Gentiles. He would say the kingdom of God. But in Matthew's gospel, he prefers to use the kingdom of heaven, noting that his audience is primarily the Jewish folks who had such reverence for God, they would even be afraid to use the name of God. And so Matthew, in turn, just says the kingdom of heaven. You'll note those differences when you read different accounts in the gospels, but they both refer to the same thing. So when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," what are we praying for? This kingdom that we're asking for is not a political realm. We're not praying for a nation state. We're not praying for a specific geographical location for the kingdom of God to be. Although those who are from North Carolina, who were born here, and for all of us who live in North Carolina, we know without a shadow of a doubt that this is God's country, right? And I just can't help but feel sorry for those folks who live south of the border, and I'm talking about South Carolina. Or if you want to go above the Mason-Dixon line up there in that area, this is God's country. But you see, God's kingdom goes beyond that. When we pray for God's kingdom, we pray for God's reign overall. We pray for God's domain overall. I want us to take a moment and just look at this word, domain. It's a word that has numerous definitions and understandings, and I'll admit it, it was one that I always struggled with. It can mean an understanding or a certain knowledge over a certain area of study in the academic world of science, of physics, of mathematics. It could also refer to one's domain as a ruler or a king over a certain region or their territory, more of what we're getting at here. But where I began to understand this word was in the computer language, computer lingo. I promise you I won't talk a lot about it. Melanie always loves when I run into someone who deals with computers because we start talking in computer language that she didn't want to hear me talk to, even though she's my loving wife. So I won't bore you with all those details, but a computer domain is where a group of computers are all connected together on the same network, and they all communicate via the same protocol. Everybody got that? The way they communicate their protocol is the computer language. It's how they talk back and forth. Has anyone ever heard of a domain name? Does anyone know what our church domain name is? Melanie said no. Come on now. Write this down. Go on your smartphones right now. ZBC, as in Zion Baptist Church, Shelby.org. That is our domain name. And so when you get on your smartphone or your computer device and you connect to the internet, we're therefore a part of a network. And here at church, we could go and we could go look at our church domain. At the same time, someone who connects in Haiti, Pastor Mark Bryce, who we support in our mission efforts, can connect down there and he can view our webpage all under the Zion Baptist Church domain and see pictures and ministries that are going on. And in turn, when we're on our mission trips to Guatemala, we can get online and share pictures from Guatemala of all the ministries that are going on and folks in here in Shelby. So all a part of that Zion family. And when I send an email from wherever I may be in the country or the state, it gets routed around to others and it comes back to the Zion Baptist Church, zbcshelby.org email address. So you look at it then in terms of God. What would we have, God.com or God.org or probably God.awesome? This is God's domain. And so then if we connect it to the internet, then God's domain will be everywhere. Wherever you'll be able to be connected together, communicating in the same language with people all over the world. Whether you're in California or in your Houston, Texas, or you're up in Virginia, or you're over in the Middle East, all would be connected, all under that same domain of God, communicating via the same language. When we pray for God's kingdom, we're talking about God's reign, God's domain, over all the nations, over all the world, over all the universe. The writer in Psalms says it best this way, Psalms 103:19, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." When we pray for God's kingdom come, we're praying for that kingdom to come where Christ will reign as king. We read this in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, a very familiar passage, prophecy passage about the Messiah. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Wherever Jesus is king, wherever Jesus reigns, there is the kingdom of God. And we become a part of that kingdom, we become citizens of that kingdom through our rebirth, through a spiritual rebirth. The kingdom of God exists wherever God reigns in a person's heart. Does God reign in your heart? Is Christ your king? Or are we in charge of our own domain? Are we our own kings? There's numerous parables that Jesus used to teach about this kingdom of God. This kingdom of God is like a tree that grows from a small mustard seed. It's like a hidden treasure or a valuable pearl. It's like a great banquet where all are invited. The kingdom of God is like a good Samaritan. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When we pray for God's will to be done in our lives, what are we praying for? Let's take a moment and look at another prayer of Jesus. This one is found in Matthew 26, verses 36 through 44. This is where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him and began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.' Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. 'Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?' he asked Peter. 'Watch and pray so that I may not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak.' He went away a second time and prayed, 'My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back again, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed a third time the same thing. What was Jesus praying for here? It wasn't to know God's will because he already knew it. He was praying for another way. But then he said, but not my will, but your will. I believe Jesus was praying for the courage, was praying for the strength to accomplish God's will. You know, a lot of times when we pray to God, we spend our time praying for our needs and our wants, and we're so busy with everything that we need and want that we fail to listen to God and we don't hear what God's already been sharing to us. There's many occasions where we already know God's will, we just don't want to do it. So we pray for our will instead. But modeled after Jesus' prayer, our prayer should be for the courage and the strength for us to do God's will. This past Wednesday night, we talked about what are some of the most difficult prayers to pray. Isaiah 6:8, here I am, send me. Can we pray that? Send me, God, as long as it's not somewhere else. Send me to do your will as long as it meets my criteria and conditions. This goes along with a friend of ours who's always said that I've shared with y'all before, the most dangerous prayer we can pray to God is use me. It's not use me as long as it fits my schedule. I carve out about 15 minutes one day a week. But simply send me. Use me. You've heard me share about theologian, pastor, Clarence Jordan, who moved to rural Georgia, and he modeled a community, Koinonia Farms, Koinonia Community, after the New Testament church in Acts, where everybody shared everything, and they had all things in common. White and black folks working together. And he translated the Gospels in that rural 1960s time era in southern Georgia. And one of the things that stuck out to me, instead of sharing the kingdom of God, he used this terminology instead. As he set before them another comparison or parable, the God movement is like a mustard seed, which a man planted in his garden. While it's the smallest seed there is, yet when it is full grown, it's one of the largest plants. In fact, it becomes a bush big enough for birds to build their nests in. He told them another comparison. The God movement is like yeast, which a woman puts in a triple recipe until the whole batch rises. God movement is like a man who finds treasure buried in a field. The God movement is like a jeweler looking for special pearls. Let me ask you a question. Are you a part of the God movement? Or perhaps are we just sitting on the sidelines? Do we have the courage, as Jesus did, to pray those prayers, send me, use me, not my will, but yours? Our challenge today, as it was last week, is to find more time this week to pray. And may we be bold enough to voice those prayers, send me, use me. Let's pray. God, you have definitely set the bar so high and challenged us so much when we pray the prayers that Jesus prayed. Lord, we are so weak. We are so limited in our own skills. But perhaps as we pray as individuals, as we come together as a church family, there are great things that you can do with us. May our prayers this week, God, be prayers for your will to be here in our lives, prayers for you to use us, our unique and gifted gifts, to use us in a way so that others may know your love. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we continue our worship through a time of response. We'll be singing a hymn of invitation, hymn response, hymn number 300, Without Him, I'll Be Down Front.